Presidential Report presented to the 55th Annual Convention of the National Federation of the Blind in Missouri, April 8, 2017. Thank you very much for the warm welcome. It is always a pleasure to come before you to summarize some of our activities, and I'm sure it will be different for me next year when this job falls to someone else. People ask me how many reports I have given, and the truth is that I don't know. I can easily tell you how many years I have been the state president, but exactly when I started giving the affiliate a written report is not clear to me. My memory is 1987, but before that written report, I'm sure there was a less formal review on our convention agenda. I remember when I started being concerned with organizing state conventions. When I was the first vice president, Tom Stevens and I would work on these things, and assembling an agenda was a harder task than it is now. Our print agenda was written using a Selectric typewriter, a machine we thought of as advanced at the time because it was a ribbonless typewriter that offered some limited ability to make a correction if you caught your mistake before taking the paper out of the machine. Back then, our agenda was brailled using a Perkins brailler, and it was copied using a thermoform machine. We now talk about how early to get it out to advertise the convention, but back then, people got their copy when they registered, and only if things worked out right. I remember that once we arrived at convention to find that no braille agendas had been prepared from the master because the chapter president said he simply didn't have time to make copies. It was then that I heard Tom Stevens use the expletive for which he is best known, growl. You'll observe that the word has five letters. I could have offered him some that were shorter by one letter, but he didn't ask, so I didn't offer. I want to begin my report to you by saying how pleased I was to be invited to the 35th anniversary of the National Federation of the Blind of Missouri's Jefferson City chapter. It was wonderful to revisit the chapter's history, some of us being present at the founding and others surviving the many ups and downs that might have destroyed a less committed group. Rita Lynch has been the leader who has held the chapter together, serving not only as its longtime president, but as one of its most active members regardless her position. Rita is not with us today because her son Larry has been granted a weakened home by the United States Army before its deployment to Kuwait and perhaps places even more dangerous. Rita hasn't missed a convention in 35 years, but there's no question that she is where she needs to be right now. I told her that she shouldn't waste a moment feeling bad about being somewhere other than here, and I got her to commit to another 35 conventions and more if she can manage to break the stellar record she has already compiled. Please join me in sending Rita a cheer that she can hear all the way to Jefferson City. On last year's convention agenda, we received a presentation from the Employment Research Committee, its task to figure out what contribution we can make to increasing the number of blind people who are employed and enhancing the opportunities for those who are. As promised at last year's convention, a seminar was held in October 2016 and 13 potential employees attended, most sponsored by Rehabilitation Services for the Blind. The seminar began on Friday evening and ended Sunday at noon. In between, we covered everything from resumes to table etiquette. The presentations made were well constructed and delivered, and the agenda planners included plenty of time for questions, answers, and observations from those in the audience. I want to thank all the people who participated in this effort, and I know that it will contribute to more blind people finding and retaining good jobs that bring them closer to being fully integrated into our society. We are always challenged by the need to find new members and to help those who are already committed become more involved. In August, we held a membership seminar in St. Louis. And while our numbers were not what we expected, we have gotten new people to join the Lewis and Clark chapter and have helped several others to become more involved. President Riccobono often urges that we raise expectations for the blind and ends many of his presentations with the rallying cry, "Let's go build the Federation." These are inextricably intertwined, and I think it's important for us to remember and convey to other people that we are only as strong as the men and women who take up an oar to row the boat that takes us to first-class citizenship. We have no shortage of good ideas that come from people who think of us as a can-do organization, but they need to understand that their good ideas are only the starting point. We need their help in carrying out the challenge they have asked us to accept. Let's continue to think about creative ways to reach out to people who have not heard about us, different ways to send the message of hope and opportunity we offer, and more effective ways of sustaining new relationships so that people we recruit can move from acquaintance to friend to Federationist. For the third year in a row, our affiliate sponsored a Bell program, or what is now known as the Bell Academy. Bell, of course, stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning, and again we rented the Delta Gamma Center for the event. Not only is it an excellent facility, but the hope is to build a good relationship with Delta Gamma, to understand their programs and have them understand ours, and to work more cooperatively to serve the needs of blind children. Of course, we hope that some of those blind children will come to see that we offer much more than instruction in Braille, and that we give them the best chance of living the lives they want, and that we need them to ensure that these efforts are continued long into the future. Of all the Bell stories I've heard from Debbie and her dedicated volunteers, the one that brought me closest to tears didn't have anything to do with Braille. We want our students to experience both the joy and the benefits of physical activity, so the staff set up a rope with knots near each end, and our students learned how to race. Some had never participated in physical competition. Some had never even learned to run. How amazing it is to think that one can go through childhood without ever knowing the joy of rapid movement, that wonderful bouncing sensation that is, for a time, so much more exciting than walking. And yes, may I say it again, competition, competition, competition. They loved it, and so too did the staff. Not just enjoying the competitiveness of their students, but engaging in a little competitiveness themselves. Just ask Debbie Wonder and Carol Coulter about the race. But don't ask them when they're both together. They may tell you different stories. Thank you to Debbie Wonder, Sheila Wright, Carol Coulter, Jenny Carmack, Holly Carneal, Brian Schultz, Chris Dizzle, Deb Bush, Robin House, Shami Corp, Justin Cole, Elizabeth Coulter, Randy Carmack, Rita Lynch, and our teacher Adnan Gooding. Last year, one of the bills we took to the Missouri legislature was a bit out of character with the efforts we advertised to the public as fully integrating the blind into society. The problem we put resources into solving was that blind people from other states who were drinking could not purchase alcohol in Missouri. This might not seem like a big deal when compared with helping someone out from under an alleged overpayment from Social Security involving thousands of dollars, but the problem we set about solving was real, and it was an issue of significance and consequence. Dr. Carrie Supolo is the owner of a company which sells scientific instruments adapted so that they can be used by blind people. He is always looking for customers and investors, and on one of his trips to Missouri, he invited a potential customer for dinner and drinks. Imagine Dr. Supolo's embarrassment when he learned that he could not be sold a libation because he had no driver's license to present. Lacking a driver's license, he was asked for a Missouri identification card, but he does not live in Missouri, and Missouri law did not accept the identification card from the state where he lives. This was a humiliation to Dr. Supolo, something which he believed served to separate him from the normal and capable adult he is and the man he wanted his client to see. Well, the long and short of it is that last year we asked the legislation be introduced to change the statute to allow for out-of-state identification cards to be used as legal verification that one is of drinking age. Several members of the Missouri General Assembly said that they would introduce legislation to remedy this, and still others said that they would see the relevant amendments or pass to larger bills to get the job done. As much as we work hard to follow the proposals we have caused to be introduced or otherwise support, this one slipped past us, and it wasn't until we went looking for sponsors this year that we realized we had already been successful. Let's all have a drink to Sheila Wright, the hard-working members of her committee, and each and every person in this state who wrote and called on behalf of our right to make a toast in the name of progress. A little over a month ago, I was contacted by Kevin Worley, who wanted to know if Missouri was interested in a fitness challenge that could make us more physically fit and make us a bit of money. I admit that the money part was primary in my saying yes, but you will notice that many members who would normally be sitting quietly during convention aren't holding down a seat but are off in the corner marching in place. The reason is that they are all wearing Fitbits, an electronic gadget that counts steps and sends those step counts to a nationwide database where everyone in the contest can see the step counts of everyone else. Missouri is part of the United States Association of Blind Athletes and the Anthem Insurance Company National Fitness Challenge to improve the health of blind people by establishing and measuring progress and meeting the targets set by the American Heart Association for Health. 10,000 steps a day is what they recommend, and Missouri is in competition with 12 other blindness organizations to meet and exceed that goal. We are competing with large agencies throughout the country and are the only consumer organization to win a contract. If we do all the things we've committed to do with the USABA, we will benefit by receiving $10,000. Not all this money will be spendable on other federation projects, some going to carrying out this program, but if we are wise in the management of our resources, some will, and we will all be the better for the work. I should qualify that last statement. We will all be the better if we don't kill one another. Carol Coulter complains that her husband is a walking machine from sunrise to sunset. He walks when he's upstairs watching MASH, no matter how many back-to-back episodes they air. The floor goes squeak, squeak, squeak. Finally, I yell at him. He comes downstairs, and instead of just sitting and talking, he walks around and around the island in our kitchen. Send him to the basement, and the activity is the same. Clop, clop, clop. This man is driving me crazy. Thank you to Robin for her work and seeing this project through and for chairing one of our most exciting new committees. Though none of us walked to get there, We participated again this year in the Washington seminar, and the weather was much more accommodating. Our lead issue was the AIM High Act legislation designed to replace inaccessible instructional materials and technology with materials and tools that can be used by blind people. We also worked on the Access Technology Affordability Act, a proposal which, when enacted, will give tax credits to those of us trying to purchase the expensive technology that allows us to participate in the information age. We also asked Congress to make a one-time appropriation to the National Library Service for the purchase of refreshable Braille displays that will be given to any blind person who wants a portable device for displaying Braille under his or her fingertips. But of course, what good is a device for reading if the information one wants isn't available? So it is that we are again pressing for the passage of the Marrakesh Treaty, which will allow the cross-border sharing of accessible books, the result being the elimination of needless duplication, the reduction in the spending of limited resources, and more books for us to read, and thereby increase the richness of our lives. Four people attended the seminar with the sponsorship of the affiliate. They were Sheila Wright, the event coordinator, Bethany Bennington, Debbie Wonder, and Julie McGinnity, who took a week from her training to be a part of our delegation. I was, of course, the tag-along, helping out when I could take some time from reporting for the Braille Monitor. Right before our Washington trip, Debbie and I subscribed to a service called IRA, which I have written about in The Blind Missourian. As an IRA explorer or beta tester, I wanted to see if the system would really be helpful to me in navigating in unknown environments. So Julie is in D.C. to demonstrate and enhance her training, the goal being to show herself and others that she can find anything that is out there to find, and here I am trying to use the services of someone in California to find those things for me. Julie about took my head off for interfering in her training to be more independent. Okay, for any of you who know both of us, you know that's a lie. She about bit my knee off. So after a little squabble about who was going to test what and when, we ended up having a great time. I was reinforced in my belief that Julie has a backbone, and she was reinforced in her belief that sometimes I can be a stubborn old dog. A moment ago, I mentioned one of our victories in Jefferson City, implying that we once again held a Jefferson City seminar. Of course, we certainly did, but because I was not in attendance due to the funeral of my mother-in-law, I'm going to leave it to Sheila in her governmental affairs report to highlight the activities that occurred there. Those of you who are part of our NFB of Missouri email list have seen the notes of commendation that have been passed to our chairman, so please join me in publicly thanking Sheila Wright for all of her work. No report would be complete without discussing the cases we have taken on this year. Last year, I told you about Layla Walker and her tremendous progress since joining the family of Dory and Jason. This mother and father are exactly the people you would want to have if you are a blind child hoping to get a good education in this country. They are bright, motivated, and not at all averse to doing whatever research they can to see that Layla gets everything she needs included in her individualized education plan. Sheila Wright has accompanied them to at least 4 meetings this year, and she reports that the school district is very interested in helping, but sometimes they need direction and a little encouragement. As Sheila modestly says, I wouldn't say that we have to push them hard to get Layla the things she needs, but it does seem that the meetings proceed quicker and easier when they know there is an advocate from the National Federation of the Blind in the room. I've argued with Sheila before, and I know that she's right. Congratulations to Layla on her progress, to Dory and Jason for their love and persistence, and to Sheila for doggedly pursuing this case and making sure that the school district knows that the National Federation of the Blind of Missouri is squarely behind whatever Layla needs to become a successful and happy adult. Burl and Vicki Jordan are longtime Federationists we first came to know when they lived in Maryville. Burl is one of the most independent travelers I know, using what public transportation there is to get around the state and occasionally using his thumb to get to those places public transport no longer serves. Several years ago, Burl and Vicki received some money through an inheritance from Vicki's father, and although they did what they could to comply with the rules of Social Security Administration, they received an ominous letter from the agency stating that the couple had been overpaid. They were alleged to owe $24,000. They got themselves a lawyer, paid him $4,500, and for that substantial payment, Vicki and Burl received this legal advice: settle, pay, walk away, and wait for the rest of my bill. Having tried to handle this themselves, they came to us for help. Vicki's paperwork was superb. Burl's recall of it was almost as good. And after a face-to-face negotiation with a staff member from the agency, we got a decision that concluded the couple did not owe money but might even be due a refund. It hasn't come yet, but they are so relieved to be through with an almost $24,000 debt that they are willing to let well enough alone. This case is but one of many that we handle dealing with Social Security and Missouri's blind pension. Most I do not handle but refer to Gene Colder, and please join me in thanking him for all he does to help people through these difficult financial issues. Amaya Washington is a young teenager who lives in Knobdoster, Missouri, and attends its local school. Just 1 year ago, the school classified her as virtually incapable of benefiting from an education. All of her materials were offered in print, and as the print size diminished, so too did her progress. Her mother, Samantha, is a single parent who works a full-time and a part-time job as a speech pathologist. So concerned was she about her daughter's lack of progress in the school district that she spent $7,000 of her own hard-earned money in legal fees trying to make the district step up and see Amaya for the bright and beautiful person she is. When we became involved in Amaya's case, both she and her mother were leaning toward transferring Amaya to the Kansas School for the Blind. This would have resulted in a commute of almost 3 hours each day. Would have meant that Amaya could not be schooled along with her friends, would have cost the school district far more in out-of-state tuition than they would spend by providing services directly, and would have been a hardship to everyone involved. With the help of our national body, we were able to provide legal assistance to Amaya that resulted in a quality IEP, a 180-degree shift in the attitude of the school district's administration, and in real progress for Amaya as she works to catch up and compete with her fellow students. Immediate past President Mark Maurer has been involved in this case and was not only responsible for encouraging President Riccobono to authorize it, but helped to see that Amaya received a Braille note touch so that she could do much of her work in Braille and have it transcribed for review by her teachers. I have been to two meetings with Amaya and her mom and one meeting with the school district. This is the kind of case one feels good about being behind, and I think that the result will be that Amaya Washington grows up to be the competent and capable adult that God needs her to be. With Amaya, Layla, and Burl, we have made a significant contribution that is reflected in our brand promise. Together with love, hope, and determination, we transform dreams into reality. And moving for a moment to internal matters, let me thank a few people who are making significant contributions to the infrastructure that lets us do the work we all find so important. One big effort this year has been to update our website so that it now reflects the branding of the National Federation of the Blind and uses state-of-the-art tools that let us display and update both the information we want the public to see and the information we need to effectively run the affiliate. Gary Horcham started us in the long run in converting from web software that was popular in the 90s to the Drupal content management system that is frequently used today. When Randy Carmack took over from Gary, our new webmaster's primary concern was addressing security and ensuring that our website was both visually appealing and totally accessible. The countless hours he has spent on this project has borne fruit, and we now have a website that will allow us easily to update and proudly display the work that we do in the National Federation of the Blind of Missouri. Not only has Randy created a first-rate website, but he created the registration system that you and I use to sign up here. I know that he did a good job, for I have not gotten one call or complaint from our treasurer about the inability to reconcile the number of people registered and the money she expects to see. If there were bumps in the system, they were so insignificant that they never made it on my radar, and for this, I am exceedingly grateful to Randy. Although it is less obvious and less glamorous, not only does every state need a first-rate website, but it also needs a way to keep an updated list of members. That list needs addresses, phone numbers, committee assignments, and preferences for receiving materials from the affiliate. For a long time, we have struggled with many different sources for this information. The editor of the Blind Missourian has a list, the president has a list, the scholarship chairman has a list, the first vice president has 50 different lists, and if you think that those lists are consistent or easy to access, I want to invite you to the ocean cruise we are hosting over on the Kansas side directly after German tomorrow. Thanks to the hard work of Brian Schultz, we now have a central database that we can be updated once and can send names, addresses, and other important information to our chapters and our committees. We can generate mailings to statewide committees just by adding the names of members and the lists we give. You won't just have names for you to go look up. The lists will be as complete as the one Aaron Magoon generated for our statewide standing committees, but it can be provided with far less work thanks to Brian. Many people in the Federation are fantastic when it comes to doing jobs they are asked to do, but Brian did this job because he realized it needed to be done and took it on himself to do it. Please join me in thanking him for something which will receive little visibility but will replace the cumbersome and inefficient process we have used for decades. Before I move on to my concluding remarks, let me say a big thank you to our committees, which have been more active this year than in any time in my memory. This convention was announced by a press release. Other recent events have likewise been advertised outside the organization. Hats off to our Public Relations Committee and to Daniel Garcia. We are more active on social media than ever before, and this is due in large part to the work of Amy Plumley. Through social media, we are reaching out in the 21st century, and we must learn to do even more of it. We Facebook, we tweet, we engage. Our transition to blindness group has met regularly. Our sports and recreation committee slugs it out with the membership committee for time on Tuesday evenings, and many of the presentations we have heard at the seminars and during convention sessions have been the result of coordination through communication. This shows momentum, and momentum is absolutely essential if we are to grow. What I have talked with you about this afternoon is by no means an all-inclusive list of the places I have visited this year or the work that has been done, with or without my involvement. It is but a smattering of our activities, those which I thought most needed to be highlighted. The people who have worked on these projects caused me to feel tremendous pride inside, and they have reaffirmed for me why I am a member of the National Federation of the Blind. Not everything we decide to do gets done in the time frame promised, or even in the time frame we might wish, but a great deal does occur thanks to our collective efforts, and thanks to the people who go beyond thinking that a thing should be done to seeing that it will be done. I will close now by taking just a minute or two to say thank you for the great honor you have extended to me. I've served in this office since 1979 with 1 2-year interruption that was granted to me by our former president, Billy Weaver. I told her I needed some time to finish the work of adopting my little girl and building a house. She gave me that time, and never do I want anyone to think about my years as president without remembering that the 2-year break I mentioned was filled by someone who possessed great love for this organization, demonstrated wisdom and patience in leading it, and helped build the base which has been our foundation for so long. I don't think any of my terms have been as difficult as the one I asked her to undertake, and I will always remember her with gratitude. My own service is easily summarized. We did a lot of work, had a lot of fun, navigated around some rocks that might have been damaged us beyond repair, and together we have made better the lives of many a blind person in this state and in the country. I have enjoyed the honor that comes in being called Mr. President, even when I have growled about some of the work that is necessary to keep that title. This organization has, on many a day, put a spring in my step, has given me confidence to believe in myself, and has helped me through some rough times that would have been far rougher had it not been for the faith and confidence I knew you had in the work we do together. This is my final report to you, but there aren't too many final events that will be signified when the gavel drops tomorrow. I will no longer be president, but I see this as a plus. It can be a good thing for the growth of the affiliate, the strengthening of our base of leaders, and a wonderful chance to see the affiliate led by someone who has watched it up close, knows where it can be improved, and has good, strong personal relationships with the people who can make it happen. I look forward to sitting in a different part of the room during meetings of the board, cringing as someone gavels me down for talking to my neighbor or for speaking before being recognized by the chair. I end with just a few more words of thanks. High on my list to thank has to be my family. They are the people who have accepted my being gone on weekends. They are the ones who watch television alone because I promised a letter or to participate in a call. They have been the people who suffered from getting on a short fuse when things weren't going the way I wanted with my paid work or some organizational problem. I want to thank the officers and board members who have, for so many years, done the work that makes a report like this possible. I have been honored to write and stand before you to present it, but this is more an annual report than it ever has been a presidential report. Ladies and gentlemen, no group could have been better to me than you have been, and I intend to show you how much I appreciate it by continuing to be a vital and active part of the affiliate. You folks are the best there is, and I look forward to serving you for another decade or so in whatever capacity you wish. Let's go build the Federation.